Hey there, parents. We've got something incredible to share with you. Have you heard about Adapted Design? They're making a real difference for families with disabled children.
Absolutely. They're all about empowering you to adapt toys and products for your child's unique needs.
And here's the game changer. Their how-to book, Let's Adapt for Everyone. It's a guide to DIY adaptations, helping you save big on those expensive adapted products that oftentimes break the bank.
Imagine the joy of customizing toys just for your kids. Visit adapted-design.com and let's make every playtime extraordinary.
That's adapted-design.com because every child deserves a world of possibilities.
You're listening to the Bitching and Bolusing podcast with Courtney and Brittany. Hello, everybody, and thank you for tuning into the Bitching and Bolusing podcast. I am Brittany.
And I'm Courtney. Today's episode is going to be an addition to our previous episode regarding careers. We're going to focus a little bit more on the mental health side of things. We did touch on it a little bit in the episode prior to this about how losing a career or having to change your career path after having a disabled child, what that looks like and how that can be perceived. Well, we want to talk a little bit further into that, not focusing so much on the career aspect anymore, but talking about how the mental health of a caregiver or a parent can affect our children and how it's kind of on us to preserve and make sure that our children's mental health is in a good state. So let's do some bitching.
Yeah. Right.
there's a lot going on here.
There's a lot. And I think, like, through each episode, I've always kind of been a big, like, cheerleader of mental health, right? I've talked about my mental health struggles. I've talked about therapy. I always tell people to go to fucking therapy if you can.
Yes.
And the problem is that when you really kind of sit back and look at it, there is a massive mental health crisis in our country right now, right? Like, just across the board.
Absolutely. Absolutely.
Now you throw in parenting. Let's, like, go down that slope a little bit further. And then you go down parenting a disabled child and, you know, like, you're right there. And when you really sit back and look at it, Courtney and I fell down a very unfortunate Reddit rabbit hole.
It's honestly been the worst rabbit hole I've ever fell down.
It was fucking brutal. And, like, yeah, the mental health is a hard, hard thing. And so many people are struggling with it. And you look through those Reddit pages and you see just how much they struggle with it. And it's really terrifying. And it's kind of like one of those aspects where it's like one more thing to add on to everything else, right? And I talk a lot about going to therapy. And I just want to speak to that first and foremost, because we're not going to have this whole episode focus on therapy, because the reality is not a lot of people can go to therapy. Not a lot of people can get somebody in to watch their kids to go to therapy. Not a lot of people can afford therapy, because even, like, my private insurance does not fully cover therapy, right?
Yeah.
And that's a big thing. So I kind of want to just get this out of the way, because I don't want to focus the entire episode on something that may not be accessible for people.
Yeah.
And I just want to give my advice that if you do find a therapist, you're going to have to shop around, just like you doctor shop for your kids, right? You're going to have to do it for yourself. And I think it's important to find a therapist that is trauma informed, but is also disability informed. And that's a big thing, because there are a lot of therapists out there. Courtney and I had some come to our inbox, but there are a lot of therapists out there that are trauma informed, but are not disability informed. And what that means is that they will happily validate your feelings of grief and sorrow and burden without acknowledging that it's not your child's disability that is a burden, it is the ableist systemic issue. and yes. how that systemic issue of ableism puts your child and you in a really tough situation where everyone's needs can't get met, resources are not available, funding is not available. This is a lot of underlying reason why parents feel some sort of like burden, I guess. And they don't, it takes a lot to come to the conclusion that it's like, oh, it's not actually disability that's a burden. It's the fucking system that's setting us up all for failure.
Yeah.
And so that's why I'm saying, like, you need to go into an interview with a therapist and say, are you trauma informed? Are you disability informed? What does that look like? What is your views on ableism and the systemic issues that surround it? And I think that that's really how you're going to find a mental health professional that is going to support you in the best way possible. Because you do not want somebody sitting there validating you, saying that your child's disability is what's burdening you. Like, that's gonna fuck with your mental health and your child's mental health to a more extreme.
That's the key, right? Is like you don't want to find somebody that's just going to, let's say, help you with your own mental health without acknowledging how that may affect your children. Mm-hmm. I think that's really important. And I think the other key of what you just said, and it's going to lead into the full discussion of this episode, is that it is systemic and it is a societal issue and it is a disability advocacy issue, mm-hmm. not an actual issue of having a disabled child.
Yes.
When we went down this Reddit thread rabbit hole of hell, of hell is what I will call it. The thread was about...
I think, let's first kind of throw a trigger warning on this.
Oh, yeah, we really should, actually. That is a valid point.
Yeah.
Trigger warning if you are not prepared to hear some thoughts that parents have about parenting a disabled child, about not wanting a disabled child. Mm-hmm.
I think it's also important to realize that this is probably very clear, some of this thought process from these parents, that their mental health needs are not being met.
Yes. So that's the other part of it.
To our disabled listeners.
Yes.
You know, there's like, you know, there's a lot of help that these parents probably need. And this is not like across the board of what all parents think. So yes. That's why, you know.
It's why we're talking about it, is because when we read this thread and we read a lot of these comments, it was hard to read them. It was really hard to digest them and to even imagine that these things were actually being said. But after all of it, it was me and Brittany being like, wow, these people need help, because they do. These are unstable minds to think the things that they're thinking.
Oh my God.
But this thread, well, there were several. So I think where we can start is maybe with the one that was a disabled child that came in. And now the child is an adult, but the discussion was regarding how they felt that their parents' career and the sacrifice of their parents' career, or all the sacrifices, not just career, essentially made them feel that they had to do literally everything their parents ever asked of them without mm-hmm. being able to impose any sort of boundary. Mm-hmm. Now, this one was probably the milder mm-hmm. of the threads that we looked at, but was still really heartbreaking, because here is somebody who, and I don't know the status of their disability, whether they were born that way or whatever the case is, but here's somebody who had no control over their disability. Nobody ever does, right? And this person just felt that they could not say no or challenge anything their parents ever needed or wanted mm-hmm. simply because their parents had this narrative of, well, I sacrificed everything for you. It was heartbreaking. It was mm-hmm. heartbreaking to imagine that somebody felt so obligated that they
set up boundaries, no healthy boundaries. Could be said
at all. And then when you started to read further down, it was more disabled individuals coming in and being like, oh yeah, same. Mm-hmm. Or like, I have a strange relationship with my mom now because now I recognize this. Or, you know, like all these other people coming into the comment section, and it was eye-opening. Mm-hmm. That's my personal journey, is starting to recognize and forcing myself to recognize that what I say and what I do has consequences beyond me, meaning mm-hmm. what I'm saying and what I'm doing in front of my children, not just Lino, who's disabled, both my kids, is going to influence them as adults. It's just true. And I want to preserve their mental health as much as possible. I don't want them to ever feel guilt mm-hmm. or shame. But here was this threat of just all these disabled individuals being like, oh yeah, mm-hmm. I've got all the shame and all the guilt and all the, you know, just the trauma of literally just being disabled.
Yeah, I mean, from their parents. There were like people in there that were almost regretting their own existence.
Yeah.
And like feeling like they weren't worthy.
Yeah.
Of like the sacrifices that the parents had to make, quote unquote, because of the person's disability. When, again, the whole common thread here is it's not the disability, it's the ableist.
It's society.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. I think that's the part that angers me, though, is that it gets redirected so often
mm-hmm.
that it's the disability, or it's the illness, or it's the health conditions, when it's not. It's all the sacrifices us as parents may have to make that are, let's say, additional to the regular sacrifices a parent makes. All of those additional sacrifices are not because our child's disabled.
Mm-hmm.
There's literally no accommodations or support mm-hmm. for disability. And that's where we really need to bring the fight, mm-hmm. right? Like it has to stop being the woe is me narrative. We're not recognizing the long-term mental effects it will have on our children. We have to start talking about refocusing that sort of narrative, and we have to be more aware of what we are saying in front of our children. But more than that, we need to be able to self-reflect and see that how much of that victimization is really honestly just perpetuating a societal issue.
I'm going to go further than saying what we have to watch what we say in front of our kids. But I'm going to take it a step further and say we have to fucking watch what we put out there in public.
Yes.
because
that next
let's
post.
Take that Woo! Shift, Courtney. Go ahead. Woo-hoo! You can shift this conversation.
So to be fair, the next Reddit thread that we ventured down, I don't know if it was just somebody posing a question or if it was a parent that posed this question.
I don't know.
I mean, the way that Reddit is, if you guys don't already know, I don't know what rock you may be living under, but if you don't already know, Reddit is completely anonymous.
Yes.
So this was just a question, and the question was, parents of disabled children, do you ever regret having a child with disabilities?
Mm-hmm.
So again, I don't know who posed that question, right? Like, was it a parent? I don't fucking know. Was it somebody just curious, like being like, hey, do you regret this shit?
Right.
Like, I don't fucking know. But that was the question. And boy, oh fucking boy.
Oh my God.
I think that actually the verbatim, the text that I sent you was, I was not prepared for that thread.
Yes.
Because I was not prepared for mm-hmm. that thread. It started out hot. It was immediately... There was a parent who immediately responded. The first response was a situation where the child is disabled. They had immense challenges. And the comment ended with 100%. If I could go back and choose to not have that child, I would absolutely not have that child.
Oh, my God.
I was like, what?
There were 5,000 or so comments.
I
went.
I gave up. Like I think I hit like 100, and I was like, I'm gonna die of like a broken heart, or I'm gonna punch the wall.
Right.
So I was like, I don't know. I can't go on.
That through all of these comments, there was maybe. I didn't read all of them. I couldn't. But the ones that I did, maybe three that were like, no, I would never. I have no regret. I would never change anything.
But then they would be challenged.
I know.
Then you would have, so there would be, there was like a, I think I read about three comments of parents that came in there and they were like, no, absolutely not. I would not one change was a dad. Thing. Yeah, yep. One was the dad. The dad, he kept getting like responses, but like, hey, this, that, and the other thing, your child's a burden on society, yada, yada, yada. And he would have to clap back to try to like, you, what the fuck are you saying?
Wild.
And it just kept going back and forth and back and forth. And I think, That's why it's not just about what you're fucking saying in front of your kids, because first of all, if you think like this, we need to acknowledge that if you genuinely are having regrets about having a disabled child, please go speak to somebody.
Yes.
And I don't say that, and I wholeheartedly apologize if it sounds like I'm being like douchey or like trying to be judgmental. I mean it in the sense that that is not a healthy thought. It is not as valid as you may think it is.
Well, and it doesn't help anyone.
No.
It doesn't help yourself. It doesn't help your child.
It doesn't help your family.
It doesn't help society.
No. And all it is going to do is bring sadness and more trauma to you, to your family, to your child. So if you are having thoughts like this, please go speak to somebody. Mm-hmm. Like with genuine concern. I mean, please go talk to somebody. But then the other part is, if you're having these thoughts and you're blatantly just throwing them out there, hell yeah. There are other comments of people going, well, this is exactly why I would abort if I did find out that my child was disabled. And I was like, holy shit,
and what the fuck is happening right now? Yeah, so this is the other thing. Like, you're putting it out. Oh, my God. Like, you're putting it out there. And, like, somebody even commented, and they were like, oh, no wonder why abortion rates are so high with, like, disabilities. And I was like, holy fucking shit. Like, yes.
You're feeding it. Yes. You're fucking feeding the monster. You are feeding the monster.
You're feeding eugenics. You're feeding ableism. You're feeding all of that. And, like, this is going to
You're feeding the lack of support.
Well, and, like, this is going to make me a massive bitch. But, like, you're feeding that because you're not getting the mental health support that you need. And you're not realizing that the issue at hand is a systemic issue rooted in ableism that's preventing you and your family and your child from getting the help and the resources that they need. I think about it and I'm like, I've said this before, but we're some of the first generations that have our children not in institutions, right? And it's like the government decided that because they realized that these kids thrived better at home under, you know, the care of their parents and this and that. And then they're like, here, you know, like,
kids, no, just do it better, with nothing. Yeah.
But do it with nothing. I'm like, and you, like, is nobody sitting back?
It's fucking wild. It's
and
wild.
And being like, thank you for acknowledging children do much better with their parents, but like, a little support
still
here?
Need help.
Still need help. Like,
yeah. When you're playing this narrative of like, well, I'd rather just not have a disabled child. Yes, you are feeding the problem of the lack of support and the lack of help.
Because
what's happening then is then everybody in society who doesn't have a disabled child is viewing disability as such a fucking burden that they're like, well, fuck that shit. Like, why even have support programs? Why even vote for that bill? Why even do all this when you should just abort or not have them? Or just like, hey, why don't we just, I don't know, breed out disability. Like, this is the fucked up mindset that narrative is creating. And you're just further perpetuating the idea that, really, honestly, why even bother? It's so hard. Who, you know, like, who would even want that? It's that worst case scenario narrative. And I don't think people realize this. And I say this because I didn't realize it. Like, even that's why I said to Brittany, I said I was not fucking prepared for that thread, because it was like, holy fuck, the amount of people that think this just on Reddit.
I don't know if all the like extra gross came out because it is Reddit. I don't know, but through.
But does that matter?
It doesn't matter. But what I'm saying is that through all of those comments that I was reading, not a single person sat back and talked about the lack of support, the lack of help, the lack of funding, the lack of respite. Nobody fucking talked about that.
Yes.
Nobody talked about how tough it is to get their child the needs that they, you know, require. Nobody talked about that. It was exclusively my kid's a burden.
Yeah.
Like, what the my brain. Like, I could not comprehend it.
But that is what society thinks.
That, like, that because is we're what out here telling them. Yeah. We as parents. We as parents.
And who wouldn't you, why wouldn't you listen to the parents of disabled
That's
children
what I mean.
Telling you that it's the worst fucking thing ever? Like, of course, if somebody is saying that and the people who are caring for these children are saying that, why the fuck would you not think that? I have to confess something. So, like, I have this vivid memory. Literally, I remember I was 16. I was in high school. I was in my kitchen with my two best girlfriends. And I don't recall why this conversation came up. And I did not think about this conversation until I had Lino. But I distinctly remember saying, well, if I ever was going to have a child with Down syndrome, I'd abort it. Now, mind you, I'm 16,
mm-hmm.
right? So I don't even fully understand any of this. I'm a child, mm-hmm. but I am 16. And I remember saying, like, I can never do that.
But that's like, that's also the narrative you've heard.
Precisely. But think about the fact that even at 16, I was already mm-hmm. conditioned to think that.
Indoctrination.
And mind you, let's remember, I had disability exposure my whole life.
Mm-hmm. Yep.
I really did. I grew up with my uncle. I grew up with another uncle who had an MS, was in a wheelchair. Like, I had disability exposure my whole life. But for some reason at 16, I was convinced it was the worst thing I would ever want. And I would never want a disabled child at mm-hmm. 16 years old, Brittany. And the thing is I never even thought about that again. Like, even when I, you know, I did genetic testing with Lino. And even then, I never had the intent of mm-hmm. aborting. Mm-hmm. I don't want to get into why I may or may have not have done that. I feel like that's a whole different conversation in and of itself, why I chose to. But I never went into having a child with the idea of, like, I'm going to abort this child if it has some sort of disability or health condition. But I also didn't even think about when I said that at 16 years old until I actually had a disabled child. It was like, what the fuck was I thinking? Because that's where what I was thinking when I brought back this memory is, how could I think like that? Mm-hmm. But it comes back to what we're talking about right now, right? So now, mind you, also the other thing is, growing up, even though there was less kids institutionalized, even at the age of me growing up, those kids were isolated at home.
Mm-hmm.
I remember feeling like, not only could I not do it, I remember feeling like, well, I'll never give up my life, meaning like I'll never want to be isolated. I'll never want to be, like, stuck in my house. Like, I remember having these thoughts so vividly at such a young age. We need to acknowledge that that narrative is what society indoctrinates. It's true.
It's so funny that you are telling me this story, because I was the opposite. And the reason why I was opposite, here's my story, is because when my mom was pregnant with me, she was older. And they told her that I was going to have Down syndrome. I think that they even went through, like, all of the testing back then that they could do. And it did, like, show that I would. I don't know if it was, I don't know, false or whatever. But they told her, they're like, you're going to have a child with Down syndrome. You need to abort this baby.
Oh my God.
And my mom was like, absolutely not. And they were like, no, really, you need to abort this baby. And it was, like, literally a fight, an argument between her and her doctor. And my parents have told me this, and they were like, it was the most stressful 9 months of their lives, because they knew whatever would happen would happen. But they were terrified because they didn't feel prepared or supported.
Well, yeah.
Right? And this is like, this is back then, right?
Society doesn't do either of those things, I'll tell you that.
And so, like, my mom telling me this and, like, seeing my mom be like, no, we're going to do whatever we have to do. We're going to love this baby. This baby's going to be perfect in their own way. And that's all that matters, you know? And I never had the thought of like, oh, I can't have a disabled kid. I remember even when, like, we also did the genetics testing. I don't actually know if I knew that you didn't have to do the genetics testing.
That's a valid point. With the first time, I felt like I had to.
I don't think it was like, it wasn't really like you can do this or you don't have to. I think it was like, okay, well, here, go get your 18 vials of blood. Like, oh my God. You know? So I didn't know, but like, I remember being very much whatever is going to happen is going to happen and it'll be fine and we'll love any baby, you know, that we have. And all of that came from my mom and the narrative that she had. And I know, like, she didn't have to raise a disabled child and stuff, but just knowing that she was faced with the possibility of having to do that and she was like, nope, fuck it, let's do this.
Well, and it goes back to the good old argument of nature versus nurture, right? Yeah. Like, you are what you were taught, mm-hmm. and that's really just the truth of the matter. And I just feel like, this argument of, like, putting the burden back on society as a whole, it gets lost somehow. And I'm not really sure why, because all of this is, you know, we even talk about this a lot, like how representation matters. You know, these are all things that help facilitate the understanding that disability is not the fucking worst case scenario. And there is a large portion of the entire planet population that is disabled. But the way that society loves to hide it and make it a burden, it does become a mental health crisis because you're set up for failure. Because you really are taught to think that this is the worst case scenario.
It's a fucking cop-out. And it's a cop-out because society wants people to think that. Because it's significantly easier.
And cheaper.
To convince people to abort. It's easier to do that. It's easier to put the blame on the disability than it is to actually pay and provide services, because that's the thing. Yes. Disability is not worst case scenario. Worst case scenario is not having services and not being able to have your child thrive.
Yeah.
And
that's drowning in it because you have no support. Not the fact that your child is disabled. Exactly. It's the fact that you're just fucking left on a raft in the middle of the ocean and told to just, well, now it's on you.
Good luck.
What the fuck? Fuck you.
It's so interesting because we're sitting here talking about, like, mental health and this and that, and we're really wanting to discuss the importance of it because, Courtney, you had sent me a research article recently about CP, children, and outcomes related to the mental health of, was it just the mothers?
It was a caregiver. I think it was, I think it was just the mother, right?
I think so.
I think it was just the mother. Sorry, yeah. I should have had that handy. It was just the mother.
but it was really interesting because the children who had mothers that their mental health was, you know, being taken care of and they didn't feel, you know, as much depression and anxiety. Mm-hmm. Like, the children had much outcomes.
Drastically different outcomes.
Drastically different outcomes.
That's why I sent it, because I was like, this is the whole point. Like, if you're not treating your own mental health and you're not able to get that help, we can go on and on and on about just the inaccessibility and availability of resources, even for, you know, parental mental health. But if you're not focusing on that and you don't take charge of that in some shape or form, I'm sorry, it will affect your children. Mm-hmm. And although this study was specifically about CP, this really does carry over to just your children. If you're a parent, you know, it that gets lost also, could be a whole different other topic of discussion, because I think a lot of parents in general are set up for failure because of how society makes it seem parenting is. There really is no real support out there.
I had severe PTSD after Cyrus was born. It was bad, 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 bad. And nobody was helping me. And I had to go and find a therapist. And, like, let me tell you, thank God I did. Because I don't know if I'd be here if I didn't. And that's the reality, is that, like, I had very clear signs of significant mental health distress. And everyone was like, we can put you on some medication.
Oh, which, don't get me wrong. Take this quiz.
Yeah, take the quiz.
The fucking quiz.
And don't get me wrong. Like, yes, take your fucking medication. Take your medication. If you need medication, take it. But it was, for me, significantly more than just taking medication. Yeah. First off, I didn't want to take medication because I was breastfeeding, right? And, like, that's a whole other thing. Like, we didn't even think Cyrus was going to be able to breastfeed. So the fact that he did, I was like, oh, no, fuck this. I'm going to be, like, you know, squeaky clean. Like, I barely had coffee when I was breastfeeding him. And then, so I didn't want to do that. But there was so, it wasn't as simple as, like, just take a pill. I had to talk this shit out. I had to figure this shit out. I had to, like, I had to process. Honestly, that's what it was. I had to fucking process.
Yeah.
And, like, I think about that, and I think just me, before we even knew that Cyrus was going to be disabled or what the extent of that was going to look like, I wasn't really offered the help other than, like, take a couple pills.
Yeah. It even stems, like, I know we're focusing on moms in this moment, but it does extend to fathers and other parents too. And I think, like, when I think back, yes, I completely can relate with you in terms of, I was in such a bad place. Like, that PTSD, the postpartum depression, postpartum anxiety, the fucking combo of it all was like, whoosh, it was like a fucking pressure cooker of just chaos. It starts to just spread outward, and there's no support for anybody. Like, I know Stefano struggled a lot.
Mm-hmm.
There was so much focus on me or Lino in that time, especially in the beginning, that he just put himself to the wayside. And I still have a lot of trouble grappling with that period of time and how it may or may not have affected Lino. Mm-hmm. And I'm sure it affected him. Like, it's not like I'm delusional or ignorant enough to think that it had no effect on him. But I grapple with what damage that has caused. And if there's any way to, in some sense, repair it. And this spirals out into more, like, why mental health support is needed for parents. Is because even just thinking about that, I need help to work through that.
You're thinking this right now, right? And the reality is that Lino, just like Cyrus, had his own trauma, right? And, like, I don't care what anyone says, when you enter the world in that way and you're in the NICU and you're, like, that's traumatic. That shit sticks with people in some way.
Lino wouldn't let us, like, touch his head for, like, the first year of his life because he had, like, all the stuff on his head from NICU.
So there's that. Like, he has his own trauma that he has to process, and you have to help him process. And then it's, like, the reality that your trauma might also affect him. Yeah. That's really difficult. Now, throw in, when your mental health is really not in a good place, your trauma is not only just affecting your child, but making your child feel guilty.
Mm-hmm.
Oh.
Yeah.
Oh.
Yeah.
Right? Like...
Yeah. And listen, like, I also, I just to harken back a little bit to the Reddit posts and how brutal they were, I don't want people to listen to us, like, talk about that thread and, like, immediately feel shame at all, because just for the simple fact that I know I've had intrusive thoughts before, and I've thought things that, even just reminiscing about when I was 16 and I've vocalized that intrusive thought, like, there are things that sometimes we can't control our brain from thinking.
Yeah, right?
And I don't want people to just be like, oh my God, I thought that, I'm a terrible, fucking horrible person, and, like, go down some, like, vicious, like, pity rabbit hole for yourself. Like, the thing is recognizing that can't be your identity. You can't dwell on those things. And if you are, again, I want to reiterate, go talk to somebody, because it's one thing to have maybe a random intrusive thought that pops in your head and you may think something terrible, like, well, I wish this wasn't my life. to then go on like Reddit and fucking blast how you wish you honestly could like change your whole life and just not have that child. And or I mean, Brittany even had a thread that was about murdering their child because it would just be easier.
Yeah. So posting things like that publicly, saying, you know, I would kill my child if there were no legal repercussions, is really dangerous because possibly, allegedly, not allegedly, this happened, right? In Toronto, Canada, Cindy Alley, she was a mom to a 16-year-old daughter who had cerebral palsy. Allegedly, back in, what was it, 2011, there was a home invasion. Yeah. Two men entered the house, supposedly searching for a package, brought Cindy around the house, and her daughter was in the living room. Cindy broke away free and found her daughter lifeless, right, unresponsive, and one of the men had a pillow. Allegedly, he suffocated her, smothered her, and this went to trial, right? Had a jury trial, and the jury found her guilty. She appealed the verdict and had a single judge trial, and the judge found her not guilty because there was not enough evidence, he felt. Either way.
To be fair, that is a very key point here. It's the benefit of the doubt scenario, meaning like the judge felt there wasn't enough evidence to prove that there was a home invasion, but there also wasn't enough evidence to prove that there wasn't. Mm-hmm. So with that thought process, there wasn't enough evidence to prove a random man killed her or that the mother killed her. But this is a prime example about how mental health is so important, and also a prime example about how society's perceptions on disability are so important and how they can affect mental health. Because there's two things going on here. We are in no way saying she is 100% guilty of killing her daughter. We do not know that, right? We're not going to sit here and pick sides, but we are saying that there's two possible scenarios here, right? Yeah. And it's either that somebody did break into the home and likely believed that they were mercy killing the daughter, because I'm not really sure why they would kill her and not the other person in the home, which was the mother. If that did happen, the jury is seeing it as, well, yeah, you know what? It is a mercy killing because disability is awful. And we understand that.
Because who could possibly live a life caring for your child?
She couldn't handle it anymore. Exactly. Yeah, yeah. And that's a whole problem in and of itself. Alternatively, if she is guilty, I mean, this is what we're talking about is if she is guilty of mercy killing her daughter, I mean, what? This is so incredibly problematic and dangerous. And it is also dangerous if she is actually guilty, the fact that she got off. It's just going to further perpetuate these complex thoughts on disability that society just, it's so dangerous. I think when we were researching this, we also, when we were researching this, we also discovered there was even like another man who back, I think it was 1993, was found guilty of mercy killing his child with cerebral palsy. This is not apparently, not as uncommon as we'd like to think.
I'm sure we could fall down a rabbit hole with that. Like, and that's what's really scary. And I have to say, like, even with, you know, Cindy's case, it's either she did it or she didn't do it. And if she did do it, you know, that's a whole thing of, like, she did not have support. She did not have resources. Yeah. I know that there was a church volunteer that had said, Cindy mentioned she was at the end of her rope with caring for her daughter. You know, when you put these things out publicly, like, yes, of course society is going to have a perception. So now it's like, maybe she didn't do it. And then society and the jury sitting there being like, well, no, nobody can really deal with a kid that has disabilities. Of course she killed her kid. And that's precisely what's so dangerous. If you're going to put this out there, right, like the struggles of having a child with disabilities and stuff like that, and you're putting it out there without any, I guess, like, research maybe to see where you can get support or resources or services or anything like that. Like, what are you putting it out there for? Just to vent? Well, if you're just venting, like, hello, this case in of itself is exactly the repercussions that can come from the parental community as a whole venting about how challenging life with a disabled child is. Like,
Yeah.
This affects everybody.
Precisely.
So that's why mental health is so important for parents.
Yeah, and if you're not going to also recognize that that lack of support from society is part of the problem, then we've got issues.
Yeah. Realizing maybe you have to focus on your mental health.
Yeah.
There needs to be safe spaces to do that, and a space that allows you to talk about wanting to fucking murder your kid or regret having, that is not a fucking safe space. Absolutely. That is not helping your mental health. A lot of like social media, a lot of that is not a safe space.
Yes, stay away from social media. If you're trying to work on your mental health, honestly, take a break from social media.
Yeah. Then you fall into, like we just talked about it the last episode, you fall into that fucking echo chamber, right? Of like every, like when you enter into these spaces that allow you to maintain a narrow perspective of the struggles you're facing, the struggles your child's facing, like you can't heal from that. You cannot heal from one narrow perspective. Let me tell you what, my fucking, the biggest moments of healing for me have been when my therapist sat down and has been like, let's reflect on this and let's come at this from a different viewpoint. And opening that viewpoint for me that I didn't even know existed, I mean, that's why I'm here today making a podcast.
Yeah.
like really.
We were talking about this before, the trickle-down therapy. This is, I mean, Brittany's therapy is my therapy now. And, you know, like, I know it's hard to disagree on opinion. I know that that can be hard. And I know that sometimes being made aware of your actions that may be negative, I know that's all hard, but it is really important to allow that and to embrace that on some level. If you are creating that echo chamber, you are not healing.
No.
You are honestly making it worse.
And it's a big ask. I think we can both agree it's a big ask, yeah. Right? Because we are very hyper-focused on making sure our child's needs are met and that they're safe and this and that. Like, we want all of that. And when we're doing that in a environment that doesn't provide us the proper resources to do that to, like, the best extent, like, we really are fucking surviving out here sometimes. Like, legit. You know, because we're having to, like, bring a whole bunch of crumbs together and try to form something of it in a society that's not providing exactly what our children need. And so when we're doing all of this and we're just trying to survive, it's a super big ask to say, like, hey, your mental health matters too. But yeah. I also think it doesn't even have to extend as far as going to therapy. I think everyone needs therapy. I don't care if you're anti-therapy. I don't care if you don't think that you need fucking therapy. Everyone needs therapy. Everyone needs to see a therapist. Like, my husband is like the most relaxed human being in the planet. Like, I don't understand. This man barely has an ounce of anxiety in his body. He needs fucking therapy. Everybody can benefit from therapy. But I'm not even saying that you have to go to that extent right away. I am saying do your own type of therapy, right? Sometimes that is just being like, maybe I can see this from a different perspective.
Yeah.
We say it time and time again, every episode, listen to disabled voices, but your whole perspective on disability will significantly change if you start making those little steps of listen to disabled voices. And it's even to the point where when you start making these small changes and start changing the narrative of why having a disabled child is challenging, it's not the disability, it's the systemic ableism. When you start acknowledging that and then you start talking about that, a really incredible thing happens where other people don't see your disabled child as a burden. Yep. And like, I am living proof of that, right? I have family who, because of the way that I see things, because of the way that I realize that the challenges we are faced with has nothing to do with Cyrus's disability, but has everything to do with a fucked up system, all of our family, they start to see it. And it's really an incredible thing when they'll sit back and they'll be like, holy shit, they really don't make it easy for disabled people, huh?
Yeah.
That's the point, right?
Yes. Like, that's all I want people to realize is, honestly, it's not that Lena's disabled. It's the fact that society as a whole just makes our life so much harder.
Yes.
Because we can do all the things. We can do what we want. We can have a beautiful, fulfilling life. What is stopping us is all those barriers that society creates. It's the inaccessibility. It's the lack of support. I mean, it's those things that fucking suck.
And how much do parents feed into that when there's 5,000 comments on one thread saying, I regret my child because they're disabled? Like, how much are we feeding into this? Like, I know people sit back, and especially, I feel like especially me, I'm the bad cop. We talk about this a lot. But, like, really, we cannot be part of the problem. We cannot be part of that problem.
No. I mean, listen, the disabled community, our children already have enough to deal with. We don't need to be adding to it.
No. We can't be perpetuating everything that society thinks about disability, everything that society thinks about our kids. Like, we cannot be fucking perpetuating that. And if you want to speak those words out loud to try to gain some sort of community or validation, I think it's important to take a step back and be like, what harm is this causing? And, like, if it causes you more harm to not put it out there in the ether, like we can talk about that. We'll discuss that, right? But if it genuinely does not cause you harm by not putting it out there, don't fucking put it out there. Mm-hmm. Like, don't. Like, take a step back, say, oh, these are some big thoughts I'm having. Like, maybe I should get this figured out a little bit and, like, yeah, work towards that.
Yeah. No, yeah. I really enjoyed this discussion. I think we hit on a lot of really good points.
I hope so.
I think so. No, and I think we put a lot of good things out there for all you listeners to mull over.
Yeah. Mental health is important. Your mental health as a parent is so fucking important. It's going to affect your child so much, and, like, we as parents need resources to help us with our mental health, to help better our children. The statistics are there. Courtney has the paper, if anyone wants to see it, that our children have significantly better outcomes if we take care of our mental health as parents, caregivers, et cetera, et cetera.
Yeah. Bring the fight where it needs to be brought. And let's not continue to just victimize ourselves. It really honestly does no good for us, for our kids, and for society.
Amen, sister. Well, go get your mental health checked out. Go talk to, you know, a therapist. There's so many things you could do. BetterHelp. You don't even have to leave your house. You can do it after your kids go to bed. You can sit there at 2 a.m. talking to somebody through your phone, getting some mental health screenings. Like, it's out there now. We can do that now.
Yes, and do it. Please do it.
Please take care of yourself. Like Wes says, put your oxygen mask on first. Yeah. So, we hope that you enjoyed this episode, and we hope that you're doing well out there. And if anyone is really genuinely struggling with mental health, Courtney and I are also always here to talk. Like, we're happy to help, right? Like,
as best we can.
I
am certainly no therapist.
But we are some open ears with some different viewpoints from the norm. So,
yes.
Sometimes that's all you need.
So. Yeah, and as long as y'all aren't coming at us just attacking, we're actually really open to discussion.
We really are.
We get labeled like we're not, because we can be combative sometimes in our comment sections, but I just want to highlight that the combativeness starts with the other side. And we're just like, okay, this is how we're going to roll? Like...
We are genuinely always happy to talk and hear other sides of things too, because we also understand that our side isn't always the right side and isn't always the only side. And we love hearing all the sides of all of the topics.
Please, I do. I genuinely do. I want to hear all the sides. It's what keeps me grounded. It's what helps me grow. So please have these discussions.
Yes. Absolutely. Well, everyone, thank you so much for tuning in to the Bitching and Bolusing podcast. Until next time. Thanks for tuning in to the Bitching and Bolusing podcast, where we unpacked our unfiltered opinions and ideas. Be sure to connect with us on social media at Bitching and Bolusing for more unapologetic dissent against the mainstream parenting narrative. And for an extra gritty perspective and ad-free listening, become a Patreon subscriber. You can visit us at www.bitchingandbolusing.com for previous episodes, merch, and more.
Hey, incredible parents, I have a special message about the Recess Project. Imagine every child having the chance to play freely. The Recess Project is on a mission to transform school playgrounds into inclusive spaces for kids with disabilities. They work with schools and communities, fundraising to make school playgrounds more accessible. They're making a real impact, and you can be a part of it. Head to their website, therecessproject.org, to donate, and let's make recess accessible for all children. We're not just talking about it. We're actively supporting a cause that matters. So join us in backing the Recess Project and creating inclusive playgrounds, because every child deserves a playground where they can just be kids.